Hey listeners, on today's episode, Melissa and I sit down, we take a little break from the timeline, and we check in on where we are right now in real time. We are almost 6 months out from starting our podcast and telling our story, and we've faced some backlash, we've faced some struggles, but even more importantly, you guys have reached out to us and told us what Burning Butterflies has meant to you. And so today, we're just going to do a little check-in on where we are right now.
Faith can feel like hearts and butterflies until someone lights a match and burns it all to the ground. Welcome to the Burning Butterflies podcast.
The sad thing is that there's abuse of every kind within the church, but the spiritual abuse is the stuff that just
well, it's a place there shouldn't be abuse. Like, there just shouldn't be abuse in a place that claims Jesus.
Well, and it ruins your soul. If you're new here, we suggest listening to our prologue episode first. This is the story of two women's journey through spiritual abuse and escaping from toxic church culture while finding hope in Christ.
Sometimes it's just the facts, and if you get offended by it, that's a you issue. And if we can't be mature enough to have these conversations, even if some of the topics are difficult, then shame on us. We've reached a point in our story where we're about to have a really big shift in what's going on and the dynamics of the story, because we are bringing on Brandy, and she is going to be with us as we go forward, because we've reached the point where, you know, she's going to start showing up at the church and be involved in all of the things. And this dynamic between Amanda, me, and Brandy and is going to start to develop. And so we thought it'd be a great idea before we round that bend to just kind of come up out of the story for a moment and do a reality check and just kind of touch base on where we are in our lives in reality. It's amazing to me, Amanda, that we have started this in November, and I didn't anticipate how much I would personally change through this process.
And, oh yeah, me neither.
And like, even like timelining it and going through it, all the stuff that came up when we were planning it, I wasn't really prepared for all the stuff that was going to come up when we actually sat down and went through it again to record it. And I was like, oh, that's a little unresolved. And so the other thing is that, you know, we expected a little backlash, you know, especially locally, because, you know, listener, you got to remember, like, we're not talking about a mega church in a big mega city. We're talking about a small community and a small church of a few hundred people that, you know, we live and work and breathe in this community. And although I believe, okay, that there's probably more people that have been hurt by Come As You Are and that have had a problem with Pastor Tom in this community than there are that actually attend the church, you know, there's probably more people who've been hurt than people who currently attend. I know we expected some backlash, and I know, like you've said before, like you monitor, we've listened, we know that there is a select few people who are listening. We also have seen the demographics that unless everybody has their location set somewhere far, far away, the majority of our listeners are not coming from this area that we live in or even like close surrounding areas. And so it's hard to say how many people are actually listening who currently attend Come As You Are, but we knew there would be pushback. We knew that there would be some backlash. I don't know. There's been some things that have happened recently. I guess I thought it would happen sooner. Did you feel like it happened right out the gate?
I did. Like, honestly, like, that's why I kind of started monitoring their stuff, like, the week we launched.
Yeah.
Because I anticipated the backlash sooner. We know that they've been listening since the beginning, because for a while they took Come As You Are off their sign.
Right. And then it went back. You know? Like, yeah, like, you're like, really, that's yeah. odd. Why would you do that? And then maybe they figured yeah. out that, like, oh, maybe that outs us, so we should put it back up.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
I know that that happened right away, but I expected the personal backlash a little quicker.
Well, I did. And, like, I mean, like, I feel like I've run into enough people and I've gotten favorable responses just about, not even about podcasting. Like, it's been, you got to think about, like, the fact, like, we started this podcast just about 3 years after we left Come As You Are. And I feel like yeah. in those 3 years, I've run into a lot of people. We haven't had any backlash necessarily in that 3 years. I mean, we weren't poking the bear either, but, like, I felt like I was good with people in the community. And I've seen some yeah. people who, since launching the podcast, kind of gave me a response that I wasn't expecting. Because I had already been playing nice with them for the last 3 years. Like, I see them on a regular basis, say hi, smile, have chats. Like, and then all of a sudden they, like, see me and turn the other way, won't acknowledge me, won't, because I started the podcast.
Yeah. So
I'm like, yeah. Well, that's kind of strange, because we're years away from the big blow up, but,
yeah, but also on the flip side of that, there's been people that I've expected to have a negative response, and we know that, like, they've contacted us and said, like, hey, heard the podcast, absolutely love this, here, let me tell you part of my story. And so I do feel like us doing the podcast has given a voice to people, and even outside of our community, we've been contacted by other people who have been hurt in similar ways by other churches. And so I know without a doubt what we're doing is what we're supposed to be doing. But yeah, like, just the, like you said, I expected the personal, I don't necessarily want to call it attacks, because, like, I mean, it could be a lot worse, but, right. You know, like, I expected the personal, kind of reactions towards us personally. I expected that from the get go. And really it's just been this last month, but also in this last month, like, our numbers have jumped mm-hmm. in listeners. Like, I mean, we're getting into the parts of the story where we are being very specific about parts of the story. It's not just us telling who we were leading right. up to things, or who we were prior to people who are there now before they were even there.
Yeah.
You know, and now
it probably really
we're
does
to a
coincide
point
inside with the part of the story.
And so some of it, yeah. Some of it, I feel like the negative reactions has been somewhat of maybe fear or uneasiness as to what we're going to say about them.
Yeah. Which, you know, we've had people contact us and who were like, hey, like, they didn't know how to reach out. Like, I would say, like, their initial texts might have seemed like one thing, but ultimately we've sat down and talked with people and then realized, like, they were just more concerned about the direction we were going and how we were going to be talking about them, and then assuring yeah. them that we were going to do our best to keep everybody as anonymous as possible and only bring people into the story who moved the story along and were relevant to what we were talking about. And so I commend those who reached out and who we've had conversations with, good and bad.
I think that's the biggest part also, is there is so much that doesn't affect you and I's story that we decided it was not our story to tell, so therefore we're leaving it out. And I think that's a lot of the issue also, is when you know some gnarly crap went down, when you know, like, it all just completely hit the fan for some people. You know, are we going to be the type of podcasters who tell someone else's story?
Right.
And that's really like, that's not what we are setting out to do. We're really trying to focus on telling our personal story, at Come As You Are, and not bringing in other people's story into Come As You Are.
Right. Yeah. And so that brings us to this point where, yeah, just really recently, like just really, really recently, you've had some very personal reactions, you know, that have affected you personally. And, you know, we don't need to talk about all of them. I know there's one specifically I want to talk about, but is there anything that you want to say about those before we dive into the one that, like, I'm chomping at the bit to talk about?
Well, I think like I knew that people were not going to be happy with me personally. I didn't expect people to take it as far as it had the potential to affect my livelihood,
yeah,
like my quote unquote day job. I didn't expect that, yeah, to happen. So that was a little bit of a like,
a jolt, whoa, thing, yeah.
Yeah, was that what that was, or was it?
Who was it?
You know,
coincidence?
Was it a coincidence? I would love to, you know, believe the best in people, yeah, but you know, when,
yeah,
2 and 2 consistently equals 4,
and we live in a small community. We live in such a small,
yeah,
and people will tell you, like, we're not the only ones to tell you. The problem with living in a small town is everybody knows each other and everybody talks about everybody's business, and when you're as involved in the community as you are, then you get to hear both sides of the story without even wanting to sometimes, because you get the third, exactly, side of the story that you were like, I didn't even know, like, just because you know enough people who talk to enough people, and they're like, and they don't even, they just come up and ask questions like, oh, I heard da 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 da, and you're like, what? Like, yeah, that, it's kind of crazy. Small town living, gotta love it. But let's dive into this one thing that happened. That is the reason why I want to jump into this negative thing that happened, this response that happened, because we have this podcast, is because when we were involved in this high control religious organization, there is a point where you start going to a high control religious organization, and whatever rational mind that you had before you started going, and then even the rational mind that you have while you're attending, there comes these like pivotal moments where you have to make choices based on the narrative, the brainwashing narrative, the Kool-Aid, as we call it, believe, yep, the Kool-Aid or believe your rational mind. And there's so many times where I personally made the wrong choice in that. And I believed the Kool-Aid narrative as opposed to what I fundamentally knew was right. And so I want to share this story. Well, I want to share your story, but because without judgment, because I've been there, you've been there, like,
oh yeah.
But I honestly could not have asked for a better scenario to arise that completely outlines why we're doing this podcast and what this podcast is about, because there are organizations out there, not just Come As You Are. There are Christian organizations out there that are hurting people and harming people. And when you've gone through something toxic like that, and you get to the other side and you begin to heal and you walk through these healing processes, you get to a point where you're either just going to abandon it and walk away, or you're going to turn around. You're going to say like, no, I have to do something about this. Like, I can't ignore this problem because it's bigger than one church. You know, I've talked to people, yeah, from other countries who experience this kind of stuff coming to, not so much in their own countries, but coming into the American church specifically. And it's like the problem is so big And for a long time, I felt like, well, I'm just one small little voice. But by golly, I'm just going to use my one little small voice. And if that's what I'm here to do, is call it out and say, we can't do this as Christians. We have to stop hurting people in the name of church. Then I'm going to do that. And, yeah. You know, look at this. I've been provided a platform to do that. So. I know. But I also go into that knowing and saying, like, I did these things. Like, I'm not throwing shade at anybody, but they did exactly like, and just, if you could just step by step, like, hey, this is what's going to happen if you walk into a church and it turns out to be a high control religious organization and wants to just absorb your soul, this is what's going to happen to you.
No, exactly. Like, so we, and honestly, like, I don't even really know these people. My daughter was babysitting for some people, and she kind of just put herself out there in like a community Facebook group and was like, hey, I'm looking to make some money. She's going to be going on some trips soon. She just wanted some extra spending money. And, you know, I can pet sit, I can babysit, you know, let me know. And so my extent of my interaction with these people was, you know, if my teenage daughter is going to be talking to strangers, essentially, like, I want to be aware of who they are. Right. So I met them. I went over to their house, you know, with her the first time she babysat, and, you know, all text communications included me on it so that I can monitor that communication. Because, again, I don't want strangers just having my daughter's phone number. And so that's the extent of the connection I had with them. My daughter has babysat for them for almost a year now. These people started attending Come As You Are. And in the beginning, it was like, you know, we started going to this church here in town, and, you know, they have a youth group is what they brought up to my daughter. And so she's like, we used to go there, but we don't anymore. We kind of drifted away from that, is how she put it. She put it very eloquently. She put it very diplomatically. She didn't say we had a problem. Like, she didn't say, like, oh, it's a cult. Like, you know, like, joking. Yeah. Like how we joke, because our kids, you know, will joke with us about things like that. And so she didn't even say it in that way, because it wasn't an appropriate context, you know, to joke about it that way. So she put it very diplomatically. You know,
and this was in the beginning, continued. Like when she first started.
This,
almost a year ago.
This is like maybe the second or third time she babysat for them. These people have gotten baptized at Come As You Are. Like, they, you know, they start getting more and more involved. She starts babysitting for them so they can do things like Master Life, like do the next step classes that we've talked about. My daughter's babysitting for them so that they can do these things. They had asked her if she would babysit for them because there was a training that they wanted to go to. So, like, you talked about your Rock the Range, how you first got, you know, serving at Come As You Are. It's an event similar to that. And there was a training. If you're going to be a volunteer at this event, you have to go to this training put on by the event. So the church got a group of volunteers together and they all went to the training together. So my daughter was going to, they had asked her to babysit so they could go to this training. She was honest with them and said, hey, I might have a volleyball tournament that day. She does, you know, competitive volleyball. She's like, can I let you know, but I won't know until like the week of, like, when my games are, what my schedule is that day. And they're like, yeah, no problem. So she reaches out to them and says, hey, you know, it turns out I don't have a game that day. And so if you need me to babysit, I'm free. The lady doesn't answer her. She thinks, well, maybe she didn't get my text. So she copies and pastes her text. And the next day, she sends the text again. Still, crickets, nothing, right? So she's like, what do I do? And I said, just do one last text and say, hey, I am available, you know, but if your plans have changed or if you found someone else, that's fine. And so that's how, what she texted. She even gave them an out if you found someone else. The lady responded back and said, sorry, haven't got back to you. We actually changed our plans due to a family issue. And so we will not, we don't need a babysitter anymore. Which leads you to believe that like they canceled their plans, right? So she said,
that's what they said.
We changed, yeah, we changed our plans due to a family issue. Come as you are, post pictures of everyone who goes to this training. These people are in the pictures.
Right. Like,
so and, doesn't and sound their, like their kids.
That sounds like, hey, we went with somebody else. We found
their,
another
their sitter. Kid. Their kid isn't with them.
Yeah.
So their plans changing wasn't that we decided to take our kid with us. It was who has your kid?
Right.
Because, and so then it was like, well, that's kind of shady because like, why can't you just say like, we found someone else? Why did you have to make it seem like you did in your text message to my daughter?
Right.
Like, that's really, well, like, that's and, really weird.
And like, honestly, like, the question is always like, why did you lie? But like,
yeah, that right there. Exactly. Well, because that's how we felt. Like, why did you lie to right. a 14-year-old? Yeah, that's weird.
That's a red flag. But like, you had, like, why did you lie when you didn't have to lie? Right. Because
yeah, she was like, it's fine if you found someone else. Like, that's, I understand. Like, I put you in a bind waiting until like 3 days before.
Well, exactly. Like, but exactly. Like, you had the option to be like, oh, you know, because you hadn't gotten, because I found somebody, that way you didn't have to worry about it. And we didn't have to worry about if you had a game or not. Right. Like, yeah. That makes it's total logical sense. But then to get ghosted, because now you're like, oh crap, I forgot. And now I gotta find a babysitter before I can respond to this other one. Like, why did you lie when you didn't have to? And so, I mean, like I said, I'm not here to throw shade on them in any way, shape, or form, but let's like think about this scenario. Okay. You have people who have had the same babysitter. They've known your daughter, right? They've known you. They know your daughter for almost a year. And there's been no problems whatsoever. So their reality and their rationality is that, oh, I know them. They're good people, right? This is the girl that babysits my kids. She does a great job. I keep bringing her back. I have no complaints against her. We've never had any problems. Like, that is your rational mind. But all of a sudden, you've reached a point where you've now drinking enough Kool-Aid that whatever is being said, because there's absolutely no reason why these people should get offended by anything that we've said in our podcast at all. Like, at all.
No, we've said
nothing. I'm sorry, you started going to Come As You Are almost 3 years after I attended there. There's nothing I've said that you need to be offended by. But you've drinking enough Kool-Aid that your rationale, reality of like you as a human being who can make decisions for yourself and say, these are good people, I've met them. And now the narrative that's being told to you at Come As You Are, all of a sudden now you're making decisions that don't make any sense. And if I hadn't done this myself, like very easily, if you're like an outsider looking in, you'd be like, well, gee, Melissa, how do you know that that's what's going on? Because I was there. Yeah, because exactly. I've been there. Because you know how many people like, that I looked at, like they had three heads, because the narrative at Come As You Are was like, they're bad, evil people. You can't talk to them. Or they're coming up. I defended Pastor Tom when people were like, he's a whatever, whatever, whatever out in the community. And I'd be like, oh no, you know, and I have my narrative that I tell you to defend him because I lived this. I exactly. lived this.
And that's the thing is like from the outside looking in, you could be like, oh, well, you're jumping to conclusions. And, you know, honestly, like deep down in my heart, I would love to believe that there was no like malice or anything like that going on. But like I said, yeah, like if 2 and 2 consistently equals 4,
yeah,
like we're like that's just the most logical line right. that you can take
because there's no reason to lie.
Especially
there was no reason to lie.
Exactly. You're lying to a 14-year-old.
For no reason.
Like, it makes no sense. And so, and especially when you're going to go and you're going to do this training and then you're in a picture and it's going to be posted, like, okay, like, right. There's receipts now.
Yeah. That's like calling in sick to work and like, I got the flu. And then you're posted on, you know, your Instagram, you're at the Taylor Swift concert. So, you know, you got buzzed.
Exactly. Exactly. No. So it's just, it's so frustrating because.
Well, and just to go back, like, I mean, and I want to make this like perfectly clear, like how mind, just the mind bogglingness of one, I know not every person that attends Come As You Are right now is listening. So we've deduced from looking at our stats and from what we could imagine, there's somebody, we imagine somebody's listening and reporting, or nobody's listening and they just know we have a podcast about them. And so the narrative is all of this bad, like they're talking bad and they're doing this. And it's like, but if you listened, I don't think that you would have that same opinion. I really don't. So I just feel like, or at least because this is not just the only incident of negative, you know, reaction that's happened. And so for the other situations and stuff, at least go listen for yourself. But I wouldn't have done that when I was there. You know what I mean? Like I believed so many false narratives about people and I'm ashamed. Like that's.
Oh yeah. No. And honestly, like I think someone's listening just because enough stuff has been changed.
Yeah.
It's like that Friends episode. Like we know they know we know. Like, you know, enough stuff has happened that we know that they know.
Right. Right. Yeah. So it's just interesting. But I thought that was absolutely like I couldn't have conducted an experiment, you know, of like behavior to be like, This is a perfect picture of the things that I did that is still and it's still going on. Like these people went against their personal reality knowledge of you and your daughter and made a decision based on a false narrative that's being spewed at them that we know what that narrative is because we bought into it. You know, and
again, like my daughter has never done anything like when babysitting, they've never had a problem. They've always been like, thank you so much. It was amazing. She had so much fun. Yeah. It was awesome. And, you know, they're the ones who reached out to her to have her come back babysit again. For them.
Yeah.
It's not like she's actively like, hey, you need me. Hey, you need me. Right. Like they reached out to her and was like, hey, we could use you this day.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense unless you're looking at it through that Kool-Aid lens.
Right. Because why lie? You have no reason to lie.
Yeah. And honestly, and that's what we're talking about. Because like, are you so drinking so much Kool-Aid, are you willing to lie to a 14-year-old because you don't want to say, hey, we think your family is probably not God honoring and we can only be around people and have people around our children that have the exact same beliefs as us. And, you know, drinks the same Kool-Aid as us. So since you are not those people and you're actively working against the people who are serving us the Kool-Aid, we want nothing to do with you. Honestly, I would have so much more respect for these people if they would have just came out and said it.
I would have given them a high five. You get it.
I would have been like, that's great. That's fine. You do you, boo. But, like, honestly, it's... And it goes beyond this. Like in my certain instance, it's a babysitting. But are you willing to not go to certain businesses because they don't line up with what's being said at your church or there's a narrative against certain types of businesses or certain groups of people?
Yeah. Oh, or let me give you one. Let me give you the one.
Certain political parties.
Oh, let me give you the one that really like I'm promise I'm not going to go on a rant, but your adult children. I have seen more families broken up because the decisions that somebody's adult children, there are parents that don't speak to their adult children because their church has them convinced that their adult child is somehow I don't know, evil or not worthy of being talked to. Like, I can't imagine getting to a place
you've
with
straight away there, you know, I cannot have
voices.
And you use the verses like, well, we can't even give the appearance of evil in our home. You're not supposed to have dinner with sinners.
Right.
And all of the disgusting dogma that goes into, you know, your relationship with people when Jesus, you know, above all of that, he was like, love people.
Right.
Can we all just freaking love people?
Right. And I just, I don't know. I'm not going to go on a rant about it, but that's a big one for me. But I mean, that's the same thing. Yeah. Friends, family, political people. Like we can't celebrate people that aren't, it's this big us and them and this black and white thinking. And it's just.
Well, and if you're going to look at this as Christians, like, you know, we say our podcast is like, you know, we're two women who have gone on this journey, but yet we still find hope in Christ. Like, do you really blame people for walking away when this is how we treat people in the church? Like, nothing about this says that this is what Jesus would want us to do. Right. Like, Jesus was like, if you're going to look at the Bible and you're going to say the Bible, all of this is infallible. If that's your viewpoint and that is the hill you're going to stand on, where is that about like being honest or, you know, in like in my daughter's case, like what does Jesus say about lying? Right. What does Jesus say about being deceitful? If you really have a problem with my family, like why are you not calling us out for our quote unquote perceived sin? Because, you know, unless you are being told a narrative counterintuitive to this word that you say you stand on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because I would argue that there are a ton of Christians who are, you know, biblical truth, biblical worldview, Christian worldview, spew all of that stuff. And yet they are some of the most hateful people you will ever meet in your entire life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is not of God whatsoever.
No. And you know the difference when you meet somebody who, it doesn't matter, whatever they're doing in life, it doesn't matter. But you know when they've got, you know, the love of God in them and they're out there just loving on people, just living their life, loving God and out to do no harm to anybody. And you know the difference. And it doesn't matter what they're participating in doing or whatever. I mean, none of that even matters. Versus the people that have a big sign of what they believe and don't believe. No, and you're just like, but there's still love in that. Like, what?
So another example of that is like on our TikTok page, you know, we're on our business that you and I own together. We did a thing where every single day we highlighted a women-owned business. I had to block men on our TikTok page. On my personal TikTok page, I had to delete a TikTok because I had men. Men are commenting on our bodies. They're commenting on women, like just saying really vulgar. Like some of them are like, hey, you have a pretty smile, all the way down to someone said very disgusting, vulgar things that if he was standing in front of me instead of behind a keyboard, I probably would have slapped him in the face.
Yeah.
Like it was just very vulgar and I had to block it and delete stuff. And you go, cause like on TikTok, in order to block someone, you have to go to their profile in order to block them. And what do you see? You see these men, they're standing there with their crosses and their American flags, or even more disgusting, their grandchildren. And what does it say in their bio? I'm just a guy who loves God and loves people.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to say disgusting things about women's bodies. Like, right. that's...
It don't make no sense. It don't make no sense. But...
It's that logic. It's the, you know, you can say whatever you want because you're slapping the Jesus sticker on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You can behave however you want because you're slapping God on it.
Yeah. So how are you doing? Like, from since we started till now, since we're having a... Other than the... Like, aside from the... the poor reactions that you've gotten, but just in general, like from where we started till now, before we round this bend and we open another can of worms with Brandy, like, I like these check-ins. We'll have to do more of them. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
How's Amanda doing?
So, like, I know I got fired up and very passionate, but, like, honestly, like we said in the beginning, like, I have no beef with these people. Like, does it annoy me that they're drinking the Kool-Aid and, like, that they are falling into the same traps that we fell into? It does, but it annoys me to a point because it's like, oh my gosh, you don't see, and I know that there's absolutely nothing I can say to you right now that is going to change your mind, because there were so many people along the way that had megaphones trying to get my attention. And I was just so into that Kool-Aid. You're not going to see it until you're ready to see it.
Right.
And so, you know, I know it seemed like I'm really frustrated or whatever. I think I'm more just like sad over the whole situation that, like, okay, we know Tom knows that we have a podcast. We know Tom knows that we're saying stuff and we're speaking truth and we're bringing things to light. And you're still serving the same Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
And so I think over the whole thing, it just continues to make me sad, but it also kind of emboldens me a little bit. And now I feel like in the beginning, I was very like, I knew what we were doing was important, but you still have that little voice in the back of your head that doubt and that, you know, like I even talk about, like, you know, what is my driving force to want to do this? And in earlier episodes, I even talk about, like, you know, I don't want to come off as bitter and things like that. Like, now I could give two craps. You think I'm bitter? Like, okay.
Right, your whatever. Opinion that's of me fine. And my podcast is really none of my business.
Yeah, like, that's fine.
That's fine.
You can think I'm a bitter, old, sinful hag and I'm leading my family straight to hell, because I know that's the narrative that's being said of me in certain circles. And I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. Because for every single person who has said or commented or, you know, ran away from us in the grocery store, or, you know, we were chill with up until we started the podcast and now, you know, we're getting ghosted and iced out. For every instance of that, I have 10 instances of people thanking us for what we're doing, thanking us. And it's people who experience Come As You Are with us, and they are thankful that we're bringing to light the toxicity, but also people who have no idea who we are, what we're even really talking about. But they resonate with the story and they're thanking us for what we're doing, because we've given them a language. We've given them validation. We've given them a voice in order to know that, no, I'm not crazy. I felt like when I left this church, this is how I felt. And I felt alone and insane and scared. But now I know I'm not, because you, I don't even know you, and you went through the same thing.
Yeah.
And so,
like,
that
really scary, the same thing. Like, when you talk to people in different locations with different, entirely different people, like, this was, I think, and I really think you'll agree, is that this was the eye-opening moment for both of us, is that we're talking to people that we've never met from churches that we've never gone to. And it's like, change the name and the date, but the story's all the same. And that was eye-opening to me, that the playbook's the same, that the same things are going on. And when we looked at, like, the history of the church and everything, and you just see how this non-denominational and evangelical, you know, movement has really taken off, it's a bigger picture of propaganda. It's not specific to one church location.
you see this, and it's playing out on like grand stages. You know, recently you have a pastor who makes a joke, an offhanded joke about how like women on their wedding night should, you know, you planned your wedding, you had your dream wedding, on your wedding night, you need to do what your husband says you need to do. You need to say what he tells you to say. You need to wear what he tells you to wear. You need to stand where he tells you to stand and do all the things he tells you to do, because why, you've dreamt your whole life of your wedding, he's dreamt his whole life of his wedding night. And he said it in a sermon. And because these sermons are streamed and these sermons are recorded and put out there on the internet, now the fact that you are disgusting is on the internet. And so people started calling him out. So because people started calling him out, he had to make an apology. What did he do? He freaking plagiarized his apology. He says damn near verbatim the same apology that a pastor like 5 years ago said when he made a joke about women breastfeeding.
Oh my God.
And if you don't follow our friend Amy Fritz on social media, you have to, with the Untangled Faith podcast, because she tells her story about how her pastor in Tennessee, they found out he was plagiarizing his sermons. And so when this all came to light, she had actually reached out to the guy who is now in hot water for plagiarizing his apology. She reached out to him and asked for a comment on what he feels like, you know, how he feels about pastoral plagiarism. And he didn't want to be quoted in the work that she was doing. And so, you know, you have instances like that. You have Mark Driscoll and John Lindell. You know, John Lindell invites Mark Driscoll to come to this big, you know, men's conference, and it's going to be awesome, and we're going to learn about being men of God. And, you know, Mark Driscoll's all about that crap. And, you know, we're men and we're warriors, and, you know, very patriarchal Kennergy going on. And they open up the conference with this like aerial acrobat performance of a guy, and he has on like leather pants and no shirt, and he like has, Mark Driscoll called it a stripper pole. He called it an Asherah pole also, which I think is a little bit of a dramatic,
it's a little exaggerated. It's just a little dramatic. But
yeah, it was like an acrobat. It's not like he was like grinding Magic Mike style on the thing. Like he was doing like the, you know, you climb up and you swirl down and you climb clear up. And I mean, like, we're talking like a full story or two above the audience, and you like drop and like you catch yourself at the last second. Like, I mean, stuff that you see on like America's Got Talent, right, and stuff. Like, they also had like, you know, like a monster truck and all that crap and everything, like very manly things. So Mark Driscoll speaks the second day. He doesn't say anything the whole first day or the whole second day. So it gets to the evening of the second day. He's going to be the keynote speaker, and he comes out and he's basically like, this is all sinful. This is terrible. And like all of this stuff has ensued. Like you can just Google, you know, like, Mark Driscoll, John Lindell beef, and you're going to like see this whole thing play out, like to the point where like Mark Driscoll's calling John Lindell's son and saying, you need to take over your dad's church because there's evil there. Like, I mean, and it all boils down to what we're talking about on this podcast. A pastor stands on stage and talks about how women are nothing more than a sexual object to their husband because that's what God says you are. Two men are in this big giant battle with each other, that, you know, they're trying to see, you know, whose monster truck is bigger, because they're both claiming that they are the ones who are anointed by God. They are the ones who have the authority to call out sin in the other one's life. And how dare you question my authority? And it all comes down to this. When you have a high control, non-denominational situation, There's no checks and balances. It's essentially, we're playing whose line is it anyway? Everything's made up and nothing really matters.
Right.
With the exception of the one guy who has self-proclaimed himself as the Messiah, as the prophet, as the pastor, as the whatever.
Right.
They are the ones who get to make the rules because they are the ones who God put in place. Well, did God give you that title? Did God give you that authority? Or did you say that you had that authority? Did God give you a title of a church? Or did you create a church and give yourself a title?
Right. And it's, I could go down a whole rabbit trail on like hierarchy and, you know, and we're going to get into more of those hierarchies and all the dogma that goes along with that. I mean, it's just, and there's, I think the biggest problem with that is like, we can all sit back and be like, when you pull out these pastors that get up on stage and just act a fool and like this narcissistic, you know, I'm just going to use that as a blanket term, behavior. And, you know, like I'm anointed, I'm more anointed than you. Like we have these, this beef going on, but like the crowds of people that are getting behind it, like that's like, to me, that's just the bigger issue is, you know, how many people are going to sit there and defend each of their pastors? Like, where's the accountability in that for somebody to say like, hey, you're wrong and he's wrong and nobody should be acting that way. Like,
exactly. Where's the accountability of, you know, oh, you said this about this person. I've never known them to behave that way.
Yeah.
So maybe your reality of this person and my reality of this person can be different, and that's okay. And, you know, like I said, I got really, really kind of passionate about things, but I think that's, if anything, that's where I'm at right now, is I have more of a fire behind me because, you know what, if this is how you're going to react, you know, when a light is shown on your ick, if this is how you react and this is how you are directing people to react, I know I'm on the right path.
Right.
And so thank you. Thank you for continuing to fail to rise to the occasion and do exactly what we knew you were going to do. Because you are just making me more and more emboldened by the minute.
Right.
So,
yeah. And it is,
that's where I'm at. Yeah. Well, where are you at?
Wait, it is. It is very, it's really sad. And like I said earlier, you get to a place in your healing process where, you know, what are you going to do now that you're on a better side of healing, you know, because I dare to say I'm healed because every time we do something, I'm like, oh, there's another layer to that onion. But, you know, it from the time, like,
but that's,
go ahead.
That's the thing that I think that's that black and white thinking though.
Yeah.
That's a cult tactic, is thinking like, oh, you're healed, so now you're done.
Right.
And you're never going to have to deal with it again.
Right.
And you and I both know the reality. And I think anyone who's really actually on a healing journey knows that it's a journey.
Yeah.
And stuff's going to continue to come up and you're going to have to continue to work through things because it's going to come to you in phases. And it's not a one and done.
Right.
Oh, you said you're healed. You said you're good.
Yeah.
You have to be good.
Right. Yeah. No. And that is exactly. Yeah, like the better side of healing, you know, is really, you know, where I'm at in that sense of like, you know, it starts out with such, the process seems so long and arduous and it seems like you're really not getting anywhere. And I feel like there were parts of the process that were just like dredged on forever. But then at some point there's like this snowball effect of like, well, now that these things have been healed, now when other things come up, I'm like excited to be like, oh, I don't want that toxicity in my life. So let's just get to it. I want to get into it, get through it and let's go. And not in a like repress it kind of way, you know, like, oh, forget about it, move it on and let's go. Like that's the unhealthy, toxic version. But you do get to a place in your healing process where you're like excited to keep, it's like something comes up and you're like, yeah, all right, let's dive into it because I know I'm going to get through it and I know it's going to be gone. For me, like, since we started this podcast, you know, I did end up filing for divorce and,
Hold on. Can we all just pause for a second? And
celebrate the small wins.
Just yes. Yes.
Which, sorry, listener, you're going to have to wait just a little bit because I do want to talk about that. And we do want to dive into that in this podcast. However, we have decided we are going to wait until that divorce is finalized to actually yes. dive in and speak about it. I just think that would be best for all parties involved. I mean, me. I did not realize. Like I listened to a few episodes that we've recorded in the past, you know, and I just, there's always something where I felt so like I'm going to be messed up forever, you know, and this mm-hmm. is going to be a never ending cycle. And I feel like I'd have moments of getting better, you know, throughout the recording process. Like I'd have days where I was standing on a mountaintop and then there'd be days where I was in the valley just thinking I'm just going to be messed up now. Like I'm messed up and I'm just going to be messed up forever. But the closure that and the healing that came from when I finally got to that place mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, where I was able to say, this has to be done. Enough is enough. And I actually filed for divorce. The weight that was released from me, the closure that I finally had,
it was a beautiful day.
It surprised me. It was a beautiful day. It totally, absolutely 100% surprised me. Like it was closure that I was looking for that I didn't know how to get. And it came in that form. And it was like a good, like, there was just something, let me think of how I could say this. I needed to take that step to say, I am going to be okay. And this is okay. And what happened was not okay. And any promises or any things, any vows or promises or like moral or ethical things that I have within me, like my value system, I was really battling that in trying to make this decision, but some of those things were part of the toxicity and part of the false narrative yep. and the false doctrines and the dogma and whatever you want to call it. And so to finally just say enough is enough and do it, and to be able to move past that, it's empowering. And I don't feel like I did before, where I used to feel like, oh, I'm, you know, my life's over. I'm just going to, you know, be a mess forever. And I have to be the one who's now, you know, that's it. I'm done. Life is over. I got nothing else out because I've been so screwed over by, you know, that's not the case at all. In fact, I am in like just complete, you know, turnaround of like mentality, spirituality, physical health, you know, all of it on such a good path. And there was a shift that happened from when we started the podcast where you're like, we were still coming out probably more, I think, than we thought of a lot of the dogmas. Mm-hmm. And we were in like a questioning phase of like, it's like we would take one step and like, you'd be like, was that right? Is it not? Okay, that was okay. I'm going to take another step. I actually kind of realized the other day that I feel like there's a point in your healing journey, which I will say for me was the better side. I know when I hit the better side of healing was when I stopped feeling like the shoe on when the other foot was going to drop. I feel like I've always felt like I'm just waiting for, okay, that was great, but something bad's about to, like there's the shoes on the yeah. other foot's always going to drop. I've hit a point now where I don't worry about that. And it's, I don't have that sense of dread, like something bad is going to happen. And I feel like I'm taking bigger steps and bigger leaps in the right direction. And I'm becoming more of who I was, you know, even in my good heyday days and health days. And I mean, I've always had a toxic, I mean, it's hard to say that I'm going back to anything healthy when I was never in anything healthy to begin with. So I guess, you know, but that's all being shed and gone. And, but as far as like, yeah, the podcast goes, like I did, I've got just gotten to a place where on this better side of healing, there are things that drove me the most crazy about what happened to us in a toxic church culture. And that is the will for ignorance.
Yep.
And is one of them. And, you know, I don't want to do that. I know better. No. Let's do better. And somebody gave me a microphone.
Yeah.
I'm going to use it. And so, yeah. And like, I just echo exactly what you said. Like, honestly, like, if you didn't want there to be a podcast about your toxic church culture, I guess you shouldn't have had one. I don't know. You know, your opinion of me and my podcast is really none of my business. And there's going to continue to be people that are helped through this podcast. And as I meet people face to face, or as I have, you know, conversations with them, over social media or whatever. And I hope that we can be there to help people, because it's like you said, there were people with a megaphone who were like, hey, what's going on is not okay. This person is abusive. These things are not okay. This is not how a pastor should act. This is not what should be going on in a church. And we were like defending it, you know? Yeah. And so you on one hand know that, like, you're like, okay, I know that I can't make a direct difference necessarily like that, but you never know when this podcast is going to find somebody. And I hope and I pray that it finds people in a place where they're willing to hear it. They're willing to see it, and they're willing to do what they need to do to get out of it. And that's just across the board, you know, as far as Christianity goes, I really want to do Christianity the right way. And I'm starting to realize more and more every day that doesn't look like what a lot of American Christians think Christianity looks like. And if we really hold up the lens of, you know, the words of Jesus and the words of Scripture and the things that we want to hold on to as Christians, we too easily let go of that lens. Mm-hmm. To make the bad behavior and the hurting of other people and things like that okay. And it's not okay. I've really come to a place where I really want to live and not do harm. I don't want to do harm to anybody. Jesus didn't do harm to anybody, yeah. You know? And we have such a small picture of what we think is accurate and what we think is right. And then it's all jumbled up, like we always say, with dogmas. But I'm super excited to take this turn and to get Brandy involved and to dive into more of the story of, you know, what we went through. Because at the end of the day, we set out to tell our story and to talk about a bigger picture. And I feel like we've done that. I feel like we've done well. I mean, we've definitely learned along the way. There's definitely some things that I'm like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. Probably, you know, but there's nothing like detrimental that we've said or done that I, you know.
Yeah.
And it is sometimes like hard to talk about people that you once cared about and talk about some the underbelly of it, you know. That is a little difficult. I hope that we're doing justice to that. I really do. I don't feel like in my heart or in my intent that we've set out to, I mean, I know my conscience is clear in that, so I'm good there, but
yeah,
but yeah, like it's a crazy story. It's a crazy story to even believe that I lived through it or participated in it in any way, shape, or form. But I am looking forward to this next part of this chapter and what lies ahead in the rest of the chapters, because it's just about to get really wild.
Burning Butterflies is a listener-supported podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by our amazing supporters on Patreon.
Follow the link in our show notes to learn how you can become a Patreon supporter too. Supporters get exclusive access to bonus content each month, including outtakes, cut content, and supporter-only episodes. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a rating on your listening platform.
Burning Butterflies is a production of Asha Media. Thank you for listening.